Hey, Impact family, here we go. It's First Wednesday, August. Now, let me say this up front. This Sunday, we're kicking off 21 days of prayer. I need you to be with us on this. Listen, our prayer time is absolutely vital and critical for our growth with Almighty God. Watch this, and just success in life. If you want to make sure that there is a constant stream of success flowing through your life and your family's life, make sure that you stay committed to a lifestyle of prayer. I know some people think that prayer is insignificant, you know, and it's just a religious activity, but this is where the power of God gets stirred up and gets released. So join us starting this Sunday, 21 days of prayer. It's going to be tremendous. Are you ready for God's word? Say yes. Come on, I can't hear you out there. Say yes, yes. Absolutely. Let's dig back in. We got some more good stuff on this First Wednesday as we keep nurturing and growing our faith in God. Father, we thank you so much again. We welcome your presence. Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst, sir. However it is you desire to express yourself, we yield unto you. Make things different, shift things around, praise God, and help us to take new steps in you. We love you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Listen, I want to continue what I started on last month in terms of becoming a champion. Now, if you did not watch that for our first Wednesday in July, go catch it. It's on our website. It's on our app. So Impact Church of South Florida, Impact SoFlo, go there. It's on our YouTube. Go there, Facebook. Go there and watch it. I was dealing with the element of becoming a champion and specifically coming into your own. My prayer for all of us that this is a season that we come into our own. Listen, this is a year, 2022, a year of miraculous interventions. So even though it may not have looked one way, dear God, when God gets a hold of it, that thing can completely shift, praise God. So we're still talking about becoming into and becoming a champion because that's who you are. Say it with me, I'm a champion. I am more than a conqueror. You better believe it. You're not just a regular conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. You are a conqueror plus. So we dealt with on last month about coming into your own. But today I want to shift gears a little bit. Still dealing with becoming a champion, but I want to deal with the subject matter of how to respond to the haters. Come on, how do you handle the haters in your life? Now, if you've been living for 15 minutes on the planet, you've probably had to deal with some haters. We all have to go through it. There are some people in our lives that try to make our lives difficult. Yep, we just call them haters. That's the popular term for it. Well, how do we respond to them? How do we respond to them as champions? Because see, if you don't know how to respond to the haters properly, haters can destroy your anointing. Haters can rob you of your championhood. Talking about being more than a conqueror, you'll be less than a conqueror because you allowed the haters to get the best of you. Listen, that's not God's desire for you, and it's certainly not mine either. So let's dig into God's word so we can see exactly the things we need to apply, the way we need to make sure we're thinking so that we, again, are becoming the champions God has called us to be. I remember, you know, some years ago, wasn't that long ago, you know, when I was in college, undergraduate. And I remember there was a person, a young lady, that for whatever the reason, I found out later, but at the time, it was just for whatever the reason, she did not like me. She didn't like me, and she was telling all of her friends, all of her, you know, little guy friends and so forth, just like, yeah, he think he all that. He think he this. He think he that. So then she told her boyfriend, who wasn't at the campus, he was somewhere else, you know, I think living in Detroit at the time. So she telling him, so, yeah, you know, I'm going to get him. You know, you don't disrespect, you know, my woman, all of that kind of stuff. And I'm walking around like befuddled. I'm trying to go to class. I'm trying to get, you know, my things done. It's just like, what is going on? And I never will forget, I'm in the cafeteria, you know, one day, and you know, my friend was telling me about the situation, like, yeah, man, you know, they looking to get you. And I was like, who is they? It's like, look, they right over there. I was like, okay, what is going on? I walk over there to talk to the young lady, and she's sitting with, you know, three guys. And I'm just like, okay, so what's going on? I've been hearing different things. What did I do to you? Oh, you know what you did. And I was like, what happened? Bottom line is, just to be candid, she was mad that I didn't talk to her. that I didn't try to, you know, talk to her. She took offense to that and started telling all of her little friends. So then, you know, now, unfortunately, now I don't condone this. I don't condone this, you know, but, you know, kind of the west side of Detroit started to rise up in me then. So I looked at her three little, you know, guys that was there. I was like, so what, y'all got a problem with me now? You know, so what we need to do here? And then they immediately backed up. Oh, no, I have nothing. I have nothing. And I completely kind of turned on that situation. Was like, y'all want a confrontation? Come on now. We can get it on. That's not the way that you should handle it. You know, so I'm just, you know, full disclosure, letting y'all know what's going on. But it was just one of the weirdest things, you know, in the course of my life, where this person just for no reason did not like me and was trying to make life difficult for me. So different, you know, other stuff that came out, you know, as a result of that, you know, but thankfully didn't have to, you know, get into it with anyone, so forth. You probably got some stories as well of some haters, some people on the job that, you know, sabotaging your work. Come on, family members, you know, talking about you, you know, neighbors, you know, that's trying to take advantage of different things. There can be haters everywhere. How do we respond? I'm glad you asked. Let's start looking at some answers from God's word. In Ephesians chapter 8, excuse me, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. As a matter of fact, if you find in Ephesians chapter 8, throw that Bible out. Man, that's not a good Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And then Luke chapter 23, verse 34. It's one of my favorite verses. Jesus is being crucified on the cross. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Here's the first thing that you want to do and how to respond to the haters in your life is this. Realize that it's not them and that they don't know what they're doing. Realize it's not them. You're not struggling against flesh and blood. It's not the family member. It's not the coworker. It's not the neighbor. It's not, you know, this person or that person. There are demonic forces at play that are influencing people. So it's really not them. And watch this. When you understand this, then this helps to direct your prayer life so you can deal with things at the root that will begin to change the fruit. But it's not them. It's not them. And then furthermore, okay, you say it's not them, but they certainly are the ones running off at the mouth at me and so forth. I get all of that. But here's what Jesus understood. They don't really know what they're doing. They don't really know what they're saying. Now, come on, you put this in context in Jesus being crucified. The Jews were very much aware, you know, of how they were sabotaging, you know, Jesus, talking about, you know, the high priest and, you know, all that religious class. The Romans were very much aware of what they were doing in crucifying him. But Jesus says, yeah, they think they know, but they really didn't know what all they were doing. They really didn't know. So if you're going to respond well to your haters, first things first, watch this, and that is you have to realize it's not really them. So don't be mad at them and don't fight against them. And then understand this, that even the things that they're doing, that they're trying to do, understand they don't really know what they're doing because there's demonic forces at play that are influencing them. And you want to deal with those things at the root by praying for them and dealing with those, you know, demonic forces. Listen. God has a plan for your life. You are a champion, more than a conqueror. And if you don't want to be derailed from that, you got to learn how to deal with the haters. Here's number two. Don't allow the situation to change your character. Listen, just like, you know, particular case I mentioned, you know, when I was in college, It was changing my character. I was trying to be nice. I'm trying to, you know, take care of my schoolwork, all that kind of stuff. And then this started happening. I'm ready to get it on now. It changed me. It changed me. That's not what God has called for you and I to do in responding to haters in our lives today. Don't allow it to change your character. Let's go back and look at my friend David. Last month, we were, you know, looking at, you know, elements of his life and how he really reflected this championhood status and different lessons that we can learn from his life. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 5 through 7, it says this. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. After Saul had left the cave, Saul left the cave and gone on his way. David restrained himself. David restrained his men, and they did not kill Saul. Now, here's the backdrop of the story. If you've read, you know this. After David is anointed king, and after David now, you know, slays, you know, Goliath, and then David has other great victories. Come on, the women in the camp, they start singing, you know, "Saul is slain his thousands, but David is 10,000s. Come on now. Saul didn't like that song at all. He was just like, "What? They are ascribing more victory to him than me as the king?" And Saul immediately got jealous because he could see what God was doing. And Saul, you know, goes on this tirade of trying to kill David several times, to the point, just like what we read here, David is on the run. And he's on the run. Saul, in this particular case, David and his men are in a cave kind of hiding out. Saul comes in to relieve himself, use the bathroom. He doesn't know that they're there. And really, they kind of take some time, you know, to get some rest. David comes over, and because his men are like, "Oh, the Lord has made a way for you today. Come on now." See, so sometimes you got some people that's trying to encourage you to harm your haters. That's not God. His men were like, "The Lord has made a way for you. The Lord has provided him into your lap today so you can kill him. Go get him, David." David was like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. Where my stuff at?" Goes over and gets to Saul and then realizes, you know what, I probably shouldn't do this. And he cuts, you know, a piece of his garment off. And then he leaves and goes away. It's like, you know what, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is, regardless of what he's doing and how he's acting, he's still the Lord's anointed. I do not have a right to harm him. So I'm not going to touch him. And then he turns to all his men. And none of y'all are going to touch him either. What's going on here? David refused to allow the situation to change his character. Now listen, if you've ever had someone out trying to harm you, someone trying to take your life, you would feel as if, hey, I'm well within my right to respond and to defend myself and to watch this take their life. But David understood there's some bigger things at play here. This is not just simply a simple confrontation. This is the king, God's anointed. Come on now, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. David understood that. He's like, even though Saul is wrong, even though he's been, you know, pursuing me, trying to kill me, I'm not going to allow it to change me and become like him. And that's a lesson, watch this, that the church has to make sure that we grow up in and embrace. That we don't allow the situation now to change our character. We continue to respond like God. This is how you respond to your haters. This is how you respond. Let me give you the next one. In chapter 19, verse 11, one of the incidents when Saul is trying to kill David. I mean, he tries to kill David numerous times. I mean, numerous times. Verse 11, it says, "Then Saul sent troops to watch David's house," because he's trying to get him again. "They were told to kill David when he came out the next morning. But Michal, David's wife, which is also Saul's daughter, warned him, 'If you don't escape tonight, you will be dead by morning.'" David got up out of there. But what's going on here? What's at play here? Point number three. Allow God to raise up help for you that will confound your enemies and keep you a step ahead of the haters. Because David kept his character right, because David committed to continue to honor God, God raised up people around him that helped to protect him, confounding the enemy and his haters, you know, tactics, and watch this, causing their whole plans to fail. It happened on numerous occasions. This is one occasion here, you know, with Michal, you know, David's, you know, wife, which is Saul's, you know, daughter, and he's hot with her. Like, how are you going to betray me and try to help him? his son, Jonathan, does the same thing on multiple occasions, protecting God's anointed, in this case, David. But why could that happen? Because David did not change his character. In the face of everything that's going on, David understood, though, I'm going to continue to honor God. Even if this individual is wrong, that doesn't give me the right to be wrong, too. And what happens? God then raises up some help for him. See, come on, you need some help. So when you're dealing with haters, you need some help. Because sometimes those attacks and, you know, verbal abuse and so forth, if you don't watch it, it can be overwhelming. You need to allow God to bring you some help. It'll confound that stuff, and it'll keep you in a safe place. Notice the next. In chapter 19, we drop down a little further. Verse 18. It says, so David escaped and went to Ramah to see Samuel. So after Michael, you know, warned him, you know, he took off. He went to Ramah to see Samuel the prophet, same one that anointed him. And he told him all that Saul had done to him. Then Samuel took David with him to live at Naoth. When the report reached Saul that David was at Naoth in Ramah, he sent troops to capture him. But when they arrived and saw Samuel leading a group of prophets who were prophesying, the Spirit of God came upon Saul's men, and they also began to prophesy. My goodness. Man, so David runs and said, I'm going to the prophet. Saul then lost his mind. Let me go to the prophet. I know I can get some protection if I go to the prophet. And the prophet's like, all right, tell you what, I want you to go to this city. And Saul finds out. It's like, oh, is that right? He sends some troops. I want y'all to go kill David. The troops get there close to what's going on, and they see Samuel, and he has another group of prophets out, and they're prophesying. Come on, they're speaking on behalf of Almighty God, and the troops fall down and begin to do the same thing. Word gets back to Saul. Well, what happened? He was like, oh, man, that ain't going to stop me. He sends another, you know, band of troops. They get close to Samuel and the prophets, and they start, you know, they fall down and start prophesying. Saul was like, okay, enough of this. Saul goes himself, you read on into the chapter. And when he gets close here with Samuel and the prophets, he falls down and he begins to prophesy. What's going on? Listen, here's the next point. Allow God to lead you to refuge. See, God has a refuge. He is a refuge. Come on, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge. Allow God to lead you to a refuge. And in that place, every scheme or plan of the enemy will fall to the ground. Every scheme, every plan of the enemy, it will fall to the ground in that place of refuge. Listen, God led, you know, David here, you know, to be with the prophet, you know, Samuel. Samuel then says, okay, here, this is the city I want you to go in. And every time now an attempt came on David's life, the response was they fell to their knees. They start prophesying. Come on now, the anointing of God is so thick that it's shifting their character now. They cannot do David any harm. Why? Because David's in the right place. David's with the right people. Now listen, if you're going to respond to haters and be okay, you got to make sure you stay in the right place and stay with the right people. And here's what I want to encourage again. Learn how to stay in the house. I'm talking about the house of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's protection in the house. God can be able to confound your enemies and make sure that their plans fall to the ground. And as Isaiah says over in chapter 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It may be formed. They may come out against you. But when you're in the right place with the right people, there's protection that's always going to be there for you. Come on now, we're talking about becoming the champions that God has called for us to be. In order to do so, we got to learn how to properly respond to and relate to the haters that try to show up in our lives. Let me give you a couple of more. I'm not going to keep you that long tonight. Here in chapter 24 again in 1 Samuel, Word of God says this. When David had finished speaking, Saul called back. Is that really you, my son, David? Then he began to cry, and he said to David, you are a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil. Yes, you have been amazingly kind to me today. For when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let his enemy get away when he had him in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you have shown me today. See, this is after David had cut off that piece of, you know, Saul's garment. And then Saul, you know, goes out and David calls to him. David calls to him and says, you know, the Lord, you know, had put you in my hands. I could have taken you out. Look, here's a piece of your garment right here. He says, but I didn't do it because that's not what God, you know, is expecting, you know, of me. And as a result, it moves King Saul for a moment, at least, where he is now moved really with compassion, like, oh, my goodness, you could have killed me and you didn't. He's like, who else does that? Who else does that when they got their enemies in their hands and they just let them go? He says, man, if you keep reading, he says, I know you're going to become the next king. I know God's hand is upon your life. What's going on here? Allow your character to be the seed that God uses to minister to your enemy's heart. Come on, this thing ministered to Saul. It ministered to Saul so much that he left. He left. Now, he gets enraged again in the future and starts chasing David again. But in that moment, it ministered to him. And he was just like, you know what? I got to leave him alone. This man hasn't done anything wrong. Well, how does that happen? Because David's character became the seed that God could use to minister to Saul's heart. Well, with everything, you know, we have the right to say yes or no to God. So in that moment, Saul says yes to how God was leading him. But then the moment something happened again, you know, a little further down, Saul got enraged again and start chasing after David all over. But your character is a powerful seed, a very powerful seed. And as we read, you know, even on last month, that God is the one who sees, you know, in private, and he rewards openly. He's the one now who's looking at the heart. He's not looking at the outward stuff. Yeah. Allow your character to be the seed that God uses to minister to your enemy's heart. And then the last one is this. 1 Samuel chapter 30. At this point, David is really coming over into his kingship. But as he and his men are out fighting a battle and winning a conquest, someone comes and raids their camp and takes away their wives and their children and pretty much levels the camp. Now, they don't know for sure that their wives and children are even still alive. They just know that they're not there, that they're gone. They think they may be alive, but they're not sure. And everyone in the army is utterly distressed. Everyone in the army, including David, is just horrifically grieved. But then something happens in the midst of this. And this is where we pick up in verse 6 of chapter 30. It says, now David was greatly distressed. I guess so. For the people spoke of stoning him. So to make the matters worse, he had lost his wives, plural in this case, and children. And now his army wanted to kill him. So they had spoken of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. It says, but David strengthened or encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened and encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In the moment of the greatest distress, in the moment where he had been taken advantage of, perhaps the greatest that he had ever experienced, where he's lost now his children, he's lost his wives, he's lost everything. In that moment, David encourages himself. In that moment when he's lost all of that, and everyone that had pledged loyalty to him, who he had taken care of, you know, for now a long season of time, now were turning their back on him and wanting to kill him, David encouraged himself. You have to keep yourself encouraged. If you are going to be a champion, you have to be your best cheerleader. Yes, it's great to have some others, you know, that will cheer for you. All of us should have that. Matter of fact, for me, one of the tragedies of this story is that David was left to encourage himself because no one else would. Don't let that be the case of anybody in your family where they have to encourage themselves. You be the encouragement to them. Yeah. Learn how to encourage yourself. And I'm praying that there'll be others that always come to encourage you. But if they don't, you make sure you encourage yourself. And you make sure that you don't let anyone in your family in particular have to go encourage less. Come on now. You always be that voice of encouragement. Come on. Show up at the family reunion and build everybody up. Encourage everyone. Remind them, hey, you are champion of Almighty God. Come on. They might be smoking on that thing that ain't not completely legal in every state yet. You know what I'm saying? But you tell them you're a champion of God. You could do it. Let them know. Encourage them. Everyone needs some encouragement, praise God. So point number six here in how to handle and relate to your haters is keep yourself encouraged with others or by yourself. But keep yourself encouraged. For me, there's certain individuals I contact when I just need some encouragement. Because I already know, I mean, it's going to turn on. That's what they're going to do. They're going to encourage me. I need people like that. You need people like that. And you don't want to run from it. That's why relationships become, you know, so critical and so important. You need encouragers. But in the event that it's a 3 o'clock in the morning type issue and you can't get, you know, him or her on the phone, nobody's responding to the text. You know, everybody then dropped off social media and going to sleep. Nobody on Instagram. You got to be able to pull back with you and God and build yourself up and say, you know what? I'm going to tell you this. Regardless of how I feel, I am a champion of Almighty God. I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. How long do you do that? Watch this until your shift comes. Come on, how we used to say, until your help show up, praise God. Come on, you got to pre-see yourself a little bit in that moment when you're feeling hard and you're feeling down and you feel like you want to slap somebody, you feel like you want to quit. Build yourself up. This is the heartbeat of a champion, praise God. If you're going to become the champion that God has called for you to be, you got to keep yourself encouraged. You know, over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, it talks about fathers not like aggravating or exasperating the children. You know, that there's a balance that we have to have, you know, when we're raising our children. But then the Amplified Translation says this right at the end of the verse. Says, don't break their spirit. Don't break their spirit. And the Lord really began to minister, you know, to me on that again, that so many people are walking around with broken spirit. They're broken because of something that has happened. Broken maybe because of some stuff that haters have said and done, praise God. That's what now Almighty God is trying to encourage you and me to make sure that we overcome. Come on now. You felt broken? You felt like, man, you know, I can't believe, you know, what has happened. I can't believe, you know, what was said. Listen, I want to breathe some fresh life back into your spirit again. God doesn't want you living broken. I know there's all kind of songs out and so forth, you know, that like God, you know, is breaking you to make you. Listen, no. God's the one that's healing you to recover you. That's what God does. See, life can break you. How we respond to things can break us. God is the one who restores us, praise God. And that's where you want to make sure you're leaning into. See, when you get broken in spirit, see, hopes and dreams just kind of fade. You just kind of go through life. You just got a daily routine. You kind of do this. You know what to do on Monday. You know what to do on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Oh, yeah, I go to church. It's just a routine. But there's no real living because the hopes and dreams are gone. No, don't let them go. Keep fighting. Come on. I'm calling those dreams back. Come on, I call those dreams back to resurrect once again in your heart and in your mind. Come on, you had them at one point. You had them at one point, and you were going hard after it, and then something happened. And you kind of, you know, started to just kind of settle in. Don't you settle. You are a champion, and there's an anointing upon you to defeat the problem that's in front of you. Allow that anointing to do its work. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Come on now. Hope deferred, you know, when you're hoping for something, but it doesn't show up, it can make your heart sick. He says, but when the desire comes, now that's a tree of life. Or the Message translation, it says it this way, Unrelenting disappointment leaves your heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn life around. Praise God. Whoo! You just one sudden good break from your whole life landscape shifting. Praise God. One sudden good break. Now, I know, you know, some individuals, you know, they'd put some money, you know, in Bitcoin, you know, some years ago. And they're just like, oh, I'm gonna buy some, so forth. Things, you know, popped and spiked. And watch this. And they looked up and they had six figures just show up just out of nowhere. Come on now. That's a sudden good break. Sudden good break. There's all types of opportunities there. Keep your faith engaged. Keep your hope alive, praise God. Recognizing that I'm a champion, and regardless of what has happened in my past, I'm not going to live in a broken state. I'm going to keep believing God. And I'm declaring a sudden good break is coming your way. Come on, you ought to receive that. You ought to just lift up your hands wherever you might be. Come on, if you're in the car, keep one hand on the wheel. But you need to receive it, praise God. A sudden good break is coming your way. And when it comes, praise God, a miraculous intervention, it's going to shift everything. It's going to shift everything. And everybody's going to be like, man, what happened? Yesterday you was like this, and now today you're like that. Say, so yeah, it was a sudden good break, praise God. But now here is the revelation and truth behind this. Every sudden good break was a progression of things that happened over time. Stay consistent. Keep working. It's really like a tree falling. If you've ever been out chopping down, you know, trees. When I was a teenager, I used to go out with my father. We would chop down trees. I mean, literally. Now, we had chainsaw, but we also had an axe. And I mean, I remember I'd have to hit some of them trees. You boom, boom. You keep hitting it. You keep hitting it. And I mean, you're putting forth a lot of energy. But eventually, you hit that breaking point, and all of a sudden, that tree goes down. Come on, that was the sudden good break. It went down. It looks sudden if you just showed up, you know, just at the last moment. But if you were there the whole time, like my father and I, you realize, oh no, there was some work, some consistency that was put in here that created the opportunity and watch this, the environment for the sudden good break to show up. Stay faithful in who God's called you to be. Don't deviate and get lost in these cultural issues that are trying to pull you away from God's heart, that are promoting good things and acceptable things and reasonable things, but not God things. Don't fall for that. You are a champion, more than a conqueror. You've been designed that way by God. And the only way you're going to function at your fullest is that you listen to what God says and not what everybody else says. Stay in line with God's word. Make sure His word is your favorite meal. It's got to be more significant than everything else, and you got to make sure you keep a heavy diet on it. Don't miss these 21 days of prayer we're getting ready to go into. It'll be a tremendous time for you just to reinfuse some things. You're a champion. Come on, say it with me. I'm a champion. Come on, say it. I'm a champion. Yeah, I want to pray for those who've just been broken. Come on, you're watching, and I mean, life has happened and different things have happened. Tragedies have happened, and you feel like you're just broken and you're just going through the motions. I want to pray for you specifically tonight. Come on, if that's you, lift up two hands under heaven right there where you are, right there where you are at home. Father, I declare in the authority of Jesus that you, the God that is the healer of the broken heart, show up big right there in their home, in their bedroom, in their car right now. Father, restoring every particular place where they've been hurting. Daddy, you understand the tragedy that took place. You understand the loss that happened. You understand, you know, the disappointment that they experienced. But I thank you, Father, that none of that is a match for your anointing and your grace. Father, I speak life into them. Your life, your Zoe life. May their dreamer come back on again. May their sense of hope and passion arise again, Father. May they be stimulated to get up and to go hard after you and what you've called for them to do. Daddy, I thank you now that this is marking the beginning of the greatest season of their life. Father, keep their faith and courage. Father, help them to understand the importance of staying with the right people in the right places. There's refuge and protection that's there. Help them, Father, to understand clearly that they are a champion before you, despite what has happened. So we love you, and we thank you, and we call them strong in you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, praise God. Come on, come on. Say, I receive that, praise God. Ah, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. Thank you, Lord God, for healing the scar even. Father, may it be like we had never been through what we've been through. Yeah, we'd be like those three Hebrew boys, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that even though they were in the fire, in the furnace, when they came out, they didn't even come out smelling like smoke. If no one knew what they had been through, they would have never been able to tell, because of your protection and your presence. I declare that presence, Father, to be big in the lives of everyone who raised their hand today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, everyone, please, if you would, just bow your heads with me just for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed in prayer. If you're watching me right now, and you can't say with confidence and boldness that Jesus is your Lord, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. Listen, this is not a plaything. This is extremely serious. If you were to give up your last breath when this goes off, can you say for sure that you are going to spend eternity with Almighty God? Now, I know there's some people that say, oh yeah, everybody's going to heaven. No, no, that's not the case at all. Everyone's going to be with God. No, no, that's not the case at all. So listen, if you can't say that for sure, come on, let's start off here, really, this second half of the year, going into back to school season in a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So if that's you, would you just lift up two hands under heaven with me? Come on, come on, right there. It's okay. Right there. I can't see you, but I'm trusting, praise God, that you are responding to God by faith and in obedience. And say this out loud with me. Father God, thank you again for loving me and giving to me your absolute best, your son Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, as my savior, as my Lord, as my king, as my everything. I turn my back on sin and I embrace your plan and purpose for my life. Thank you for making me your own. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you so much for that now. We give you praise, glory, and honor in the wonderful name of Jesus. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with me out of the sincerity of your heart, do this for me. Text the word decided to the number that you see come up on the screen, or type that word into the chat, so that one, we can pray for you. Two, we can be rejoicing, you know, with you. And three, we can send you a link to a devotion that will just help to encourage your faith so that you can become the champion that God has called for you to be. Please do that. Text the word decided to the number on the screen, or just type it into the chat and we'll be glad to get that information to you. Absolutely applaud you. Come on now, be the champion that God's called for you to be. Now, secondly, I want to pray for those as well, though, that maybe you've gotten off track. And coming out of this pandemic, let's be clear, there's been a whole lot of folks that got off track. No condemnation to you. Spirit of God drew you, you know, here tonight so that you could connect with us, just so he could pull you back in with him and you could get back on his plan and purpose for your life. So if that's you, I want to pray for you. Here's an opportunity for you to rededicate your life and make a fresh start on tonight. So if that's you, come on, you lift up two hands unto heaven. Lift them up high, and be in agreement with me in this prayer. Father, I thank you right now for your sons, your daughters, that are being obedient to your voice. Thank you for drawing them closer once again unto you, as you've already been doing. Father, I pray for a spirit of might to be strengthened within them in their inner man, in their inner woman. Father, grant unto them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who you are. May they rise up big, Daddy, in what it is that you've called for them to do. May the dreams, once again, Father, rise up from the belly of their belly, praise God, and so that they can be able to run with them and begin to pursue and to chase after them again, praise God. May they not grow weary in their faith and in their well-doing, Father, and may they experience what you said. May they reap, Father, in due season as they faint not. So I thank you for this. We love you, sir, and give you praise. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Come on, that's a good place to rejoice right there as well. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you for a fresh start. Thank you for a new day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, I want to encourage everyone that's on here. This Sunday, we have our growth track. So this is a next step for you. If you haven't gone through a growth track, you need to do so. Step one is our membership step. So you want to get that. That is key. That is primary because you want to be connected in the house. So that's this Sunday. It will take place right after our worship experience, at 11:30. So come out so that you can get in on that. And then for the rest of this month, on the second Sunday, it'll be step two, three, four, so forth for this month. Get in on it. Start off this school year the right way. And that's in relationship with God, growing in God. Listen, love you. Praying for you. We believe in Almighty God has some supernatural things in store for all of us. And before I close, let me say this. Impact Church of South Florida is moving in 2022. Come on now. Somebody shout glory. Absolutely glory to God. Be blessed, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Bye.